Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn to Page, Season 4, Book 15 of Twist-a-Plot, Spellcaster. Are you ready to cast some spells? Sling some spells?
I'm ready to cast a couple spells, sling a couple spells. Honestly, the guy on the cover who's peered open this magical tome directly in front of him as being illuminated like it, such as the suitcase from Pulp Fiction, that feels like me opening a new Twister plot. Like,
yes.
What's in here? A cat! A woman pointing at me! There's a raven!
The lady in the back just pointing at the book is really good. Like, what an energy. Read that book. She's just pointing. I don't get what is she doing? What is the goal?
It's like telling, it's pointing to tell someone to do something that they're already doing just so that you feel like you did that.
Yeah, I did it. I made him open the magic book and release the bubblegum bubbles that are going up into the cat's fur. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. This looks like a movie poster for a really cheesy, but ultimately like so bad it's good movie.
This is a movie poster that is for a mockbuster knockoff of Tron, where you don't get it from playing a video game cabinet, but from reading an old book.
How many of these covers have we said look like Tron?
Tron is just very, very visually informative for this period of time, I've understood.
Yeah, apparently, or at the very least for Twist-a-Plot, but yeah, there's definitely a handful of, like, fantasy. I miss these kind of, like, I don't know, the book covers or, like, movie posters that I can only describe as ensemble cast covers, you know? Where you have that, like, one person really big in, like, the center, and then they have, like, everyone on their, like, behind them, behind their shoulders, and then behind them. That kind of, like, Star Wars poster style thing. It feels like they're going away a bit. Bring them back.
They feel so much more abstract now. They're always just, like, a curve and a gradient or a tie.
Yeah, like, it's an object on the ground, or like, I don't know, you know, it's like what they did to Mr. Pringle. They ruined him. He used to have a very luxurious mustache. They simplified him.
They trimmed him down?
They trimmed him down. It's just, they made his mustache black, and, you know, it's just that thing where it's like, we've gone too far. I think he used to have eyebrows, but I can't even remember. That might be one of those Streisand effect things.
It's a Berenstain Bear.
It's a Berenstain Bear. That's one Berenstain Bear.
You've slipped into the wrong dimension. I have to say, though, if you make the Mr. Pringle, Pringle Man, Pringle Jim, if you make his mustache black, it would be, in my mind, virtually indistinguishable from just a larger mouth, in which case he just looks like an emoji. You just made an emoji.
Yeah, I don't know. This came to my mind because this is getting so off topic, like, even by Turn to Page podcast start standards. This came to my mind because I want to have you know that I bought some Pringles, and they're right next to me, and they are Minecraft Pringles, and they are spicy TNT flavored. Minecraft Pringles. I saw them and I was like, what?
And I have nothing but respect for the mind that sees something like that and goes, I mean, I need to know. Right?
I have one. I normally don't, but I want to try every Pringle that comes out because I've just decided that that's my thing. So it'll be my thing until I die.
You popped once and now you can't stop.
I just can't stop. They're not wrong. What did they put in this? But you want to guess what spicy...
That wasn't
spicy...
an advertising campaign. That was a public service announcement warning.
Guess what spicy TNT Minecraft Pringles taste like.
I'm going to say they are very slightly sweet chili.
They just taste... They taste like the word spice and that's it. the way they taste is the word spicy. Like, they don't... And very, like, absurdly salty. Like, absurdly salty, and then just, I cannot place the spice at all. it's just like they somehow distilled the flavor of spice into a flavor, and that's just all it is. It's
Like Frank's Red Hot Sauce. It's red and it's hot.
Yeah, basically. You know what? I'd say they're Frank's Red Hot adjacent. Anyways, So twist a plot.
Let's cast some spells.
Let's cast some spells. Ooh, bad look. They didn't want to dedicate it to anybody. They must not be proud of their work.
This one isn't dedicated.
Yeah.
Beware! Don't read the book from beginning to end. You're about to open the cover of a spellcaster. Oh, spellcaster, rather. Spellcaster is a keyword here. You are about to open the cover of Spellcaster, a magic book. In your hands rests great power. But be warned that you aren't the only one interested in this ancient book. The people you meet may want the book's power for themselves, and they will stop at nothing to get it. At times, you will even have to fight magic with magic. How it all goes? Depends on you. Follow the instructions at the bottom of each page. If you run into trouble, go back and make another choice. If you're doing well, keep going. Remember, with magic, things aren't always what they seem. Be brave. Be daring. Be careful.
Those are at odds. Be daring and be careful are immediately at odds. Thank you. This doesn't tell us a lot, which I kind of think is sort of nice. It's quite vague. It feels like it could go anywhere. But also, I like when a book hits you with the, you are about to open the cover of spell. Like, this book is part of the canon, but also, like, it opens up so many plot holes, if that's the case, and yet I'm so in to begin the adventure on page 3.
We can ignore those on our own behalf, of course.
Oh, if we didn't ignore plot holes in turn to page, we would have 3 times as much podcast. If we just focused on every plot hole, we point out some, but we mostly point out the silly. Either way.
Yeah, and then we resolve them in some way.
Yeah, we try and make it canon somehow. We are the hole fillers. Let's move on. When you saw the sign announcing a tag sale at the Old Puritan Inn, okay, your imagination took off. Somehow you thought you'd find an antique coin worth thousands or a priceless painting selling for a quarter, but now you're here. All you can see are chipped teacups and broken chairs in a cluttered old living room. You check out a shelf of dollar books, and among the titles you see Puritan Ethics and the World of Berries. Boring! What the heck? What? Boring! Just as you're about to leave, you spy an interesting-looking book up behind the rest. You work it from behind its hiding place and blow away the dust. Gold letters seem to glow against the ancient leather binding. The title fascinates you. You know, how would the book say it?
Spellcaster. Spells and charm.
You open it and read.
In your hands rests timeless power. Apply it wisely.
Wow.
You breathe, fishing in your pocket. It's your last dollar, but timeless power is probably worth it. A blonde woman beside a cash box and a gray-haired man in a black suit, the only other people working at the sale, glare at you. The woman's white uniform has Frederica embroidered on the collar. The collar? So you assume she works at the inn. Count your money while you turn to page 4.
Where'd you get that book?
She demands fiercely. When her sudden hostility makes you speechless, she mutters.
Why must I deal with children?
You glance at the gray-haired man who's staring back at you. His eyes are red-rimmed and his pupils are huge, as if he's been in the dark. Gives you the creeps. Without warning, he swoops forward, grabbing for your book.
I want that!
He growls.
Give it here!
You snatch it away and slam your money on the cash box.
I got it first! It's mine!
You turn to Frederica and say.
It's just one of the dollar books. That guy just tried to steal it from me.
Frederica still looks angry, but then she shrugs nonchalantly and puts your money into the box. Well, anyway, the book is now yours. Triumphantly, you hurry to the safety of the nearby park to study the old book. Thumbing through the brittle pages, you wrinkle your nose at the musty scent. With a nervous shiver, you scan the table of contents and read. Revenge, page 26. Transformation, page 54. Page 62. Which one will you try first? Make your choice and go to that page in the book. There's a bunch of symbols that
read. I have always been a big fan. I'm glad they have that in this book.
Yeah, I mean, we have to go, right?
Oh, of course. Page 62, I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
For the record, this is a text that was not understandable. It was clearly written in a runic language.
Yeah, like maybe sometime in the book we'll get the ability to decipher it and it'll say something like, this will kill you.
Exactly.
But you flip to the coded page and see strange writing with what looks to be a key. Oh boy. And it is. It is all the symbols and all the letters. You know, a lot of these are pretty close to the letter.
Yeah.
Some are not.
You kind of blur your eyes and get pretty much most of the way there.
Yeah. The T is just an upside down T, for example. The W is an F, for what it's worth. But, you know, hey, using the above key to the code, translate the following message. The first line is already done, which says Wizard's Code. Oh, boy. You want to... Okay.
I can tell you what it says if you'd like.
Oh, yeah.
It says, top secret wizard knowledge. Oh, curiosity, yeah. Courage, control, fear, caution, study. Thank you kindly to whomever donated this book to the library for having filled it out on the next page.
Oh, my God.
Woo!
Oh, my God. That saves us a bunch of time. Yeah, because that was...
It does indeed. I mean, especially when they've immediately given us the key. This is literally just a find and substitute. So, top secret wizard knowledge, curiosity, courage, control, fear, caution, and study. And then...
Oh, it says...
At the bottom of that page.
It says their name in Wizard's Code, too. That's... Oh, that's adorable. What's their name?
Oh, we can figure out their name. What's their name? Oh,
Amy?
Amy!
Amy! Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Amy. You're the real one. All right.
We wouldn't have been able to get bosses without you.
Thanks,
this
Amy.
Series would have had to stop here. Midway through episode 15 of season 4, we would have had to call it quits.
Yep. And it says go to page and then 32. I like how you could probably deduce in symbols. Yeah. It says go to page and then it says, and then it just says 32. You could probably deduce that that is what we would have to do. So let's go to 32. You really like this old code. It looks neat. Like a cross between bird tracks and letters. Neat.
But why would wizards use a code?
You wonder aloud, leaning back against the elm's rough trunk. Then remembering the notes you pass in class, you think it would be nifty to put them in code. It's really embarrassing when the note falls on the floor and the wrong person reads it. Maybe wizards need to write things they don't want anyone else to read. Spells, for instance. You're so busy thinking about codes, you almost don't recognize the woman in white from the old Puritan Inn. She's walking across the park towards you. Remember that her name is Frederica and that she's not friendly. What does she want? Why is she coming towards you? Don't be paranoid, you tell yourself. She's probably just out for a walk. You got enough time to get up and leave before she gets close. But why waste the energy? Go. Great point. Go or stay? Stay? Should we stay or should we go now?
If we stay, there could be trouble.
Yeah, I mean, but if we go, there will be double. So, I mean, like...
There will be. So will if be. We stay, there could be trouble. But if we leave, there will be double. So we have to stay, right?
Yeah.
That's the possibility of getting no trouble. It's the only way we get out of here scot-free.
I'm happy to stay.
Yeah. I mean, look, if she just immediately pulls out a knife and kills us, like, you know, end page, we go back
yeah, whatever.
And we can leave.
Whatever.
Yeah, like I care. Stab
like
me.
I care. Stab me. What are you gonna do? Stab me?
On your
me?
Conscience
oh.
be it, fool.
On my tombstone. What are you gonna do? Stab me? You stay under the elm watching the woman approach. When she gets a few yards away, she stabs you. No, she hails you.
From a few yards?
Yeah, it's a big knife.
She doesn't actually do a she's stabbing motion. She just walks towards you with it held out.
She's got the Buster Sword. She has Cloud's Buster Sword from Final Fantasy VII. She hails you with a wave.
Oh, I'm glad I found you,
she says.
I want to buy that book back. I'll give you $20 for it.
20?
You exclaim.
Sure.
What? But can we ever say it? But before you hand over the book, you hesitate. The whole situation's pretty bizarre. If she's willing to pay 20, maybe someone else would be willing to buy it for 21 or even 50. And if she wants the book that badly, why did she sell it to you in the first place? You snatch the book back.
My grandpa always says that if a deal looks too good to be true, it usually is.
She glares at you.
I've made you an offer. Take it or leave it.
She raises the Buster Sword. Okay. Take it or leave it. Take it on page 70. Leave it on page 87. No?
Yeah, this is my book. This is actually. There's a spell in here that makes $21.
This also, you know, not to think about the plot hole of it all, but the book that we're reading right now is Spellcaster. So if she takes it, we do have to stop reading.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
We have a podcast.
And we don't even get the $20.
Yeah, we have a podcast to do where we make the big bucks. So you.
I'm sorry, lady.
Time is.
We're going to be keeping this book.
Time is money singular. So leave it. It's 87.
I'll leave it.
You answer firmly.
You can keep your $20.
Abruptly, Frederica changes her manner. Smiling sweetly, she asks,
why won't you sell me the book?
Where are we?
I'm just waiting for it to load.
Oh.
For one thing, it must be worth a lot more than you're offering.
You say.
For another.
You add.
I like this old book. I don't want to get rid of it just yet.
I see.
She replies, scratching her head.
Then we have a serious problem.
What do you mean, we?
You snap.
The problem's yours. Now, leave me alone.
Oh my god.
That's so sassy.
So sassy. For one thing, finders keepers. For another, losers weepers. Let's see. Will she leave us alone? Turn to page 15 to find out.
Oh, I can't leave without the book.
She says.
I'll give you whatever you want.
Look.
You explain.
I don't want to sell. I'm leaving.
You get up, but Frederica grabs your arm.
It's not safe for you to go anywhere with that book.
She says.
The information in it is dangerous.
Dangerous?
You echo.
You're nuts. Let me go.
You snatch your arm from her grasp and walk towards the woods.
First that crazy old man tries to steal from me, and now this crazy woman?
She mutter.
Stop!
She yells desperately. As you enter the woods, you're startled by the old man in black from the old Puritan inn. He springs from behind a tree and lunges for you, but he misses. Maybe this book is more trouble than it's worth, you think. It means so much to these two, maybe you should just hand it over, but... I paid for it. Why should I just give it away? Because I might get killed, that's why. The man lunges again, grabbing at the Mickey Mouse t-shirt you're wearing. No! Quick, what'll you do? Give it up, hand it over on 74, or fight for it on 77.
The Mickey Mouse t-shirt or the book?
Like... You're gonna have this rat shirt.
Yeah, exactly. That's not gonna be limited edition in the course of the next 50 years.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It will be worth more than the book, no matter...
Time keeps time, yeah.
It's wish wouldn't.
What are we gonna do about this Mickey Mouse t-shirt? We'll keep it, but give up nothing. Fight him. Let's kill him. I mean, there's gotta be a spell in here. There's gotta be a like just killing curse of some kind.
Let's wrap our Mickey Mouse t-shirt around his neck, choke him out.
We have magic, but we still go fully physical for this.
Yeah. I really, really want to play a wizard like that in D&D. So bad. A punchomancer.
I am currently playing someone who is... It's not relevant.
I don't care. I don't know.
I'm cutting out 5 minutes of story that is irrelevant here.
Okay, fine. But I'll ask after. You try to shield yourself from the man's attack with Spellcaster. Suddenly, the heavy book slips to the ground. Your eye falls on the strange code that you saw before.
It seems to be saying past, past, past.
Oh, yeah, it just translates it for us. I was going to say. It looks like it says past. Except the S's look like Z's and the T's are upside down. Otherwise, it just looks like past. You say to yourself, proud of how quickly that you've mastered the code. You start to run again and find you're enveloped in a thick mist. It's like when I was a kid and I was like so impressed that I learned Pig Latin.
Yes! Oh my god.
Quote unquote learned Pig Latin. Like it was.
I mean, I still can
a master.
Speak it fluently, but yeah, I can understand. Yeah.
I understand Pig Latin fluently, thank you. I can read it, I can't speak it.
There was a very short period of time where I had learned Big Latin, and also it was possible for me to be starting to fill out forms. So we're talking about like the age of like, you know, this 7 or 8, I have to imagine, where I was really tempted to write Pig Latin as a language I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I did once. I think I might have, actually. That seems familiar.
I know,
familiar.
Ipe Atenlay. That one's for the people in the know.
Yeah. You start to run again and find you're enveloped in a thick mist. There's a strange sulfur-like smell in the air, and before long, you are very disoriented. Panting, you double over to catch your breath. You straighten and freeze. You're facing a stern-looking man in a Puritan costume. You spin quickly, surrounded by an angry mob of Puritans. Then there's a flash, and out of thin air, the creepy old man in black appears. It can't be, you think. He's run into this trap, too. You're both grabbed by the mob. The stern Puritan aims an accusing finger at the old man, asking you,
"Dost thou know this witch?"
What does he mean? You haven't been formally introduced, but have tangled. How should you answer? Yes, but, go to page 47, or no, page 80.
If people with belt buckles on their hats and pitchforks ask me if I am familiar with and consort with witches, I know the answer is no. No, never. Don't even know which. Witch? Sorry, did you say witch? Stitch? I'm familiar with stitching. What is a witch? That's my answer.
Excuse me, I'm town power and I can prove it. I'm mayor. I'll reveal rules. There's a niche one for you, gang.
Next I mean,
All right. No.
No!
I don't know this man, nor his pointy hat.
This is not my man.
This man is this.
No!
I like the thought of someone that's just out in public saying, "Whose man is this?" and pointing to like a very large man in a black suit and a very large witch hat. Whose man is this?
Someone let their man.
Someone's man is loose. Anyway. No, you state firmly.
I've never seen this man before in my life.
You try to look shocked.
You say he's a witch?
The Puritan looks at Spellcaster and frowns.
How camest thou by this evil book?
He takes it from you and passes it to someone else in the crowd. Evil? Your mind races, remembering Frederica's warning of danger. You think maybe she was right. You're sure they don't want to know about Frederica or how you came back through time, especially not that part.
I bought the book.
You answer. For the time being, you figure you're safe from the old man. It's the rest of the mob you need to worry about. You got to make them think you're on their side. Suddenly, Frederica walks down the path, dressed like a Puritan. What is she doing here, you wonder?
Release that daft child!
She orders the stern one.
The poor thing is quite mad, always running away from my village. Come, I will explain.
She's talking about somebody else. Daft child. She means someone else, clearly. Yeah. She would.
I got big brains.
She wouldn't say that. She wouldn't say that about us. That's not...
My lobes are practically bulging out of my skull.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's medical.
It's actually really, really hampering my performance mentally.
It hurts me like real bad. Ow. 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 Anyways, she takes the man by the elbow. Should you trust her? Or do you think she's going to make your situation worse? If you want to let Frederica do your talking for you, go to page 83. If you think you better talk yourself, turn to page 93. It's probably fine if she talks for us.
Yeah. What's the worst thing that can happen?
We die?
Oh, okay. As long as that's the worst. Let's go to 83.
Die painfully, actually, might happen. Well, whatever. That's fine.
You didn't tell me about that. Now I'm on 83.
You stay where you are and watch the whispered conversation between Frederica and the man in the costume. From time to time, he glances with pity at your direction. At last, he returns and orders.
Unhand the child.
Frederica, spouting flowery thanks, quickly hustles you down the path into the woods. Safely out of sight, she murmurs a spell and leads you back through the eerie fog and into the present.
Nicely done,
she says with admiration.
You handled yourself pretty well back there. I'm afraid old Yark didn't get off as lightly, though.
She chuckles.
Old Yark?
You ask.
You mean that creep who tackled me? You know him?
You eye her.
Say, who are you?
I'm Frederica. He and I work for different, well, groups.
She appraises you, eyebrow raised.
There aren't many, you know, who can pass through time so well. Interested in a little advanced study.
She pulls Spellcaster from a fold in her dress.
How'd you do that?
You ask.
The Puritan took it from me.
The same way we journey through time,
she says.
You used the magic words from the book. I used my own time travel spell. It's all magic.
The ends?
The ends? What? I guess it's a good ending. This is become a spellcaster.
This is the middle of a story. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. We are not completed our hero's journey yet. We have not returned changed.
We have not completed our, like, our hero's chores, let alone our hero's journey. Like, I don't... This is...
I don't smell complication. I don't whip resolution. The coda would not be apt.
Yep. I almost
want to go and die on a bunch of other pages, so this feels more earned.
Yeah, I want to go to 93, which is just the other... Wait.
Sounds good to me.
All right. You'd love to speak to the man in the Puritan costume, but you don't get the chance. You're gagged and thrown into a cabin nearby. You look at the cabin, and it becomes obvious that the people live here. This is not a movie set, it's home. Yeah, do we ever think... Okay. A home in the past. Yes. With an eerie chill. You revise that to home in the past. Yes. It's still hard to believe, but when you repeated those words written in the old code, you were transported back into the Puritan days. I thought the book already confirmed that.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay.
Yeah, this feels like maybe another line could connect to this, and it has to restate some things.
Unfortunately, you aren't given the chance to explain where you came from, since Puritans don't trust witches. You're not allowed to speak.
They never remove your gag.
Based on your language, your clothes...
The creature on your t-shirt is especially evil, they say.
What is this, social media? What? And because you possess Spellcaster, you are speedily found guilty of witchcraft. What, my spellbook? Suddenly I'm a witch because I know magic? Come on!
What? Just because on the first page I wrote, my name is Ryan and I know magic?
They thought they had us fooled by turning the letters upside down and backwards sometimes.
My code! It was broken! You mean the code that I broke in 12 seconds? How?
I am but a kid with my Mickey Mouse-ed shirt, and I solved it in mere moments. Surely adults cannot. Oh, they solved it while I was monologuing.
Oh, no. Did they squint their eyes and kind of look at the words because it just basically reads like English at that point? Oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, beans. Oh, spells. Anyways.
Oh, heck, oh, gosh, oh, dang. What is our last decision that might...
Well, hold on. There's a paragraph I didn't read yet.
Oh, sorry.
You are speedily found guilty of witchcraft. Alas, you're burned at the stake. Since the tinder is scarce, they start the fire with the brittle old pages of your book. With both you and Spellcaster gone, this is the end. Sorry, now we can... Yeah, we die. We're burned alive. We're burned alive. What now?
And the other spellcaster who really wants this book just watches, I guess.
That's messed up.
That's mean.
That's mean. So, do we know the witch? Okay, this is going to be... I'm curious to see how this one would go, but if we say, yes, we know the witch, we go to page 47.
The Wonderful Witch of Oz. Let's go. 47.
Maybe we can just throw him under the bus and say, yeah, he's a witch. I took his book. Here it is. It says, I'm Ryan and I know magic thanks to Mickey Mouse on my shirt.
And his name is Ryan, and this is his book, and this is his shirt. I stole his shirt.
He likes to wear really small shirts. Don't ask. Anyways, 47. Mm-hmm.
Yes?
You begin?
I know him, but...
Silence them both!
The Puritan orders. Before you can protest, you and the man from the old Puritan inn are gagged, tied, and taken to a village. This is going well. You are both brought before the town elders and charged with witchcraft. Oh. The man is found guilty and sentenced to burn at the stake. Everyone saw him appear out of thin air, but you, you're another matter. Your Mickey Mouse t-shirt and funny speech count against you, but you look like such an innocent child. Since they can't agree on your guilt, you're taken to the town pond for a trial by water.
If thou float.
the Puritan explains.
Thou art a witch. If thou sink, thou art innocent.
Really is such a lose-lose. It really is. Like,
it really, really is. Who? It seems like it was just a very complicated method to punish women.
Such a gotcha.
It doesn't actually seem that complex.
It's not complex. If you die, then oops. If you live, then you die. It's basically just a way to trick the public into it being fine that you killed someone. That's just it. Yeah. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. I'm going to shoot you with the gun, and if you don't die, I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to shoot you again.
If you don't die, you better. You better. Because that means you're a bad man, I think. I want to kill you. Is that clear? They bind your arms and legs and dump you in the water. Even with all your swimming lessons, you sink like a... Okay, yep, you sink like a stone. Fortunately, yeah,
they didn't teach you in swimming lessons how to swim with your arms and legs bound.
Yeah, fortunately...
That's a big failure of swimming lessons, I think.
Yeah, and you have to pay extra for that. Yeah. Fortunately, they haul you out of the water, sputtering but alive and innocent. Wow, progressive. Sadly, you can't make it back to the present. The villagers burn Spellcaster with the old man. Life as a Puritan isn't all bad. Even though you get your these and thous mixed up all the time, the end. Oh.
Oh, I mean, I like the one where we get to be a wizard.
I like spells. I like turtles and spells. Okay. That went how I thought it would.
Yeah, pretty much exactly.
Like, it went a little bit better because we didn't die.
Very true, very true.
Let's see.
Where does your flowchart say we last branched? I don't know if there will be another significant branch off this side. It doesn't
we
look
can,
like it.
There's a couple. We can... Oh. The thing is, they all seem like stupid choices. That's the issue. We can give up Spellbinder to the witch.
Oh yeah, we don't need that.
Let's go to 74 and give up the book. Maybe he'll hide it for us, smile. I'm sure this will go great. You toss the book on the ground and run. No book is worth this, you think? You run into Frederica and almost knock her down.
Where is it?
She demands.
I dropped the book over there.
You jab your thumb over your shoulder.
Go fight the old man. I left it for him.
No!
She shrieks. Her face a mask of anguish.
Not with the Black Force!
If you would have called him the Harbinger of Death or something before, maybe be like, okay, fine, I'll listen. There's some people who have, like, imposing names where you're like, all right, I can fill in the blanks. You could have just done that.
I would have believed you.
I would have believed you. She dashes into the woods.
Black Force?
Oh my gosh. Borlock the Unspeakable. Oh, shoot. You scoff.
What nonsense?
Never mind, I would not believe you.
So he didn't have it embroidered on his collar like she did, so... with no more to do, you head home. Later, okay. Later, when you're watching reruns, all the television networks interrupt programming for a special bulletin. The world has been taken over by a circle of evil sorcerers called the Black Force. They have created a web of timeless power with a document called the Spellcaster. You remember the warning inside the front cover?
In your hands rests timeless power. Apply it wisely.
You can hardly believe it. Timeless power. Ah, how could you have been so dumb? You think ruefully. If only you had the sense to hang on to the book. You probably could have gotten $100 for it. The end. Yeah, that's the lesson to take.
Yep, they ruled the world with it, but you might have been able to get a parlor tricks worth of money out of it.
Ooh, in the 80s? That's probably like at least $101 now.
Ooh, you're right, plus inflation, and I invest that in Apple and then Microsoft and then Bitcoin, and then I take it out of Bitcoin and I put it back in Apple?
And then I use it at that point, I have enough to buy an Apple?
I have turned $100 into $16.
$16 of apples? You mean Apple stock? No.
New. No. I unfortunately bought apples, and they didn't really mature as well as Apple stock would have.
I was really confused. See, when everyone was investing, I was like, I don't get what you mean, invest all your money into Apple. I did. I invested all of my money into Apple, and they rotted so fast, and now I have nothing.
You were supposed to plant them. Because then you get more trees, and then it's infinite apples. Money grows
infinite
on trees when the
apple
money is apples.
You know, it is just that easy if you can wait until an entire apple tree grows. And
yeah, legitimately.
It is legitimately that easy. Just never need that money. Invest all of your money into Apple.
Oh, of course. It'll take every single dollar you have and then another. It's similar to the infinite food yogurt glitch. Leave a small amount of yogurt, and then if you refill that with, I think it's literally just milk, it becomes yogurt.
Yeah, I mean, it's like how you have...
I can't believe that they left all these glitches in online.
I know. It's like, this made it to live? But it's like how you have a little smidge of, like, bubble bath or shampoo left in a bottle, and you're like, you just keep on adding water and shaking it up. And you're like, I mean,
oh,
this
yeah,
is,
that never runs out.
That never runs out. It is also just putting water in the bath at mm-hmm. some point. But
that's where it goes, though.
It's a little bubbly. When I pour it out, it's still a little bubbly. And I've saved so much money on not using bubble bath anymore, basically.
And bubble bath was my biggest expense. Month over month, $6,000 on bubble bath? Yeah. It was just untenable.
It's like one of those meme charts where they're like, please help me with my budget. Food, you know, $100. Rent, you know, $1,000. Bubble bath, $10,000. Please help me with my budgeting. Where have I gone wrong?
You should move somewhere cheaper. You yeah. don't want to pay rent that's more than 50% of your income.
You definitely don't want to pay rent that's more than 10% of your bubble bath.
Oh, absolutely. That's a bad ratio
that's
for you.
That's a bad ratio of rent to bubble bath. Oh, man. Anyways.
Well, I mean, should we
let's go to page
give the book up at a slightly earlier instance?
I guess. So page 55 was the last branch. Sell the book on page 70. Yeah, why did we not choose all these?
Yeah, let's sell it for $20. Let's oh, but we know it. We could get 100.
Not yet, though. All right, you accept the $20. That's 80 games of Chomp and Shred. Shred? Chomp and Shred. That's not how you spell Shred.
Yeah, the famous game, Chomp and Shred.
Chomp and Shred. Down at the video arcade. Great. Except you lose interest after the 15th game. Oh well, can't spend it on anything else.
Shame they only have one game in that arcade.
They have one game in that arcade and you have to spend all $20 at once. That's why they say, don't spend it all in one place. This is why. Oh well, but if you held on to Spellcaster, who knows what riches you might have gotten? $100. Sadly, without mm-hmm. the book, this is the end. What a surprise. Selling the book is also a bad idea. It's almost like these weren't actually choices.
Whoa, hang on. This isn't a bad ending. We got $20 and we
it's
got to
true.
Play 15 games of Chomp and Shred, our favorite video game in the arcade. The only one that they have.
Yeah.
And we get to keep another 65 games in the future. We can return 4 different times in the
it's
future
true.
For a full game session of 15.
It's
Baby.
True. I have like $8 worth of credits left on my Dave & Buster's card in my wallet. And I'm like, dude, if I am ever at the mall and I'm like, I want to do one round of skee ball, I can. And honestly, that feeling is sick. Just go up, mm-hmm. go to the mall and be like, I want to walk in there and play 2 games of skee ball and then leave. And I can. It's actually kind of great. That is what it's all for. That is what it's all been for. Playing a little bit of skee ball sometimes. That's what it's been for. That is why we do this.
Did it all for the skee ball.
Some of it sometimes. So, is this even a choice? We can choose to not understand the code? And check our work on page 86.
Sure, let's not understand the code.
Yeah.
Oh.
It tells us the code. The last thing to translate on page 63 is go to page 32. Okay. Yeah, that's... Okay. Yep. So we didn't... Okay.
So... The only... We know all of the paths that follow on from getting the code, which means we know that the code is not relevant at all. Top secret, wizard, knowledge, curiosity, courage, control, fear, caution, study. None of that is relevant to anything.
Yeah. Why did I write down page 42?
Oh, this is going with Frederica rather than not? I don't.
Yeah.
What page does this come from?
That's what I'm trying to find out, because I wrote down that it came from page 62, but I don't think that's right. But this does look like a... Huh?
32 continues from that, so...
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, 32 continues from that, and then Frederica is starting to approach you.
God, you're back so far.
And you have to figure out whether or not you should leave before she gets
should
close.
Should we stay or should we go now? Well, I guess double it is.
Let's double up. Double or nothing.
Picking up Spellcaster, you quickly walk into the woods at the edge of the park to avoid Frederica. With limitless power in your hands, you aren't going to be disturbed by anybody! Wow. It's me wearing headphones to the grocery store. In the dappled light of the woods, you pause and flip open the book. With the right spell, you think, I could do anything! You sit on a smooth rock and flip through the pages until you find a section entitled... What is it? Something ST blank O blank Y.
I'm getting pretty good at that code.
It's freaking Wordle. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, the, let me error check it for you. What do you think it is?
I don't know. ST blank O blank Y, and I'm looking at that, and I'm trying to figure out what that word...
What if I told you that it's a G at the end instead?
Then that... Strong.
Yeah.
It means strong. I was thinking back to Amy, and I thought that that's what it was. And also, it looks like an upside-down Y, so I was like, oh, okay. This is how they get you. Some of them look like their letters, but they're not, you know?
Exactly, they're trying to throw you off.
Upside down Y is a G. Upside down Y is a G, and also the thing that looks sort of like an upside down Y is an upside down Y, but hey. You're getting pretty good at the code, so you try... Oh. You're getting pretty good at the code, so you translate that word as the word strong. Why do I even try? Why do I even try? Why you give me... We did too much Sherlock Holmes solo adventures that my head says, you give me a code and we solve the code. You don't just get the code and then say, and the answer to that code is, why even give it to me? Why is it even there?
Yep.
Why is it even there? All right. You're getting pretty good at the code, so you translate the word to strong. Yeah.
I have no clue. It is very generous of them, I will say.
It's nice.
That's the one for me.
Your hand trembles with excitement as you trace your finger under the instructions for casting the spell. You shiver with anticipation and mumble the magic words. Instantly, a tingle of energy crawls along your arms and legs. Your heartbeat slows down. You actually feel stronger. Experimentally, you flex your arms the way you've seen weightlifters and wrestlers do. The sound of your shirt seams ripping, however, makes you stop flexing at once.
Wow!
You whoop.
Look out, world! Here I come!
Triumphantly, you pick up a smooth pebble and fling it at a nearby tree. The stone smashes into the trunk with a sound like a rifle shot. Turn to page 43! Wow!
That's strong.
Wow. Barely able to believe your ears, you race to the tree and poke your finger down the deep hole. Did we make the pebble stronger, too? Poke your finger down the deep hole drilled into the trunk. This is a plot hole. The end of your finger presses against the pebble buried in the wood. It's red hot.
Whoa!
You say, studying the tender burn on the end of your finger.
If I can just toss a rock that hard, I wonder what else I can do.
You grab a stout limb on the tree just to see how far you can make it swing. Pulls back so easily that you have no warning when the branch simply rips from the trunk. Now that's strong. You drop the tree limb and wipe your dirty hands on your pants.
Wow, I better watch what I do from now on,
you exclaim. A growl from your stomach reminds you that you haven't eaten anything since lunch. All this exercise must have stirred your appetite. You're starving. You pick up the spellcaster and return through the park where you spot a couple of kids from your class. You recognize them as a pretty tough pair. Not for long. I'm gonna bury them through a tree.
Oh, I'm gonna flatten them.
Yeah,
they're gonna walk away like xylophones.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab both of them and then smash them together, and it's gonna go. Like, they're gonna make the sound of cymbals crashing.
I want to see the Tweety birds flying around their head. I want to see them myself.
Yep. And then I want them to walk around stumbling like they're drunk in a circle before it's spinning around and then falling on their back.
Mm-hmm. Classic. I want every Sylvester action to occur.
Yep. I want them to wave a white flag when they're on the ground. You recognize them as a pretty tough pair. Now they'd be impressed with your newfound strength, you think? On the other hand, you don't really know these kids, and you're hungry. Do you show off or go for food?
I think the strongest thing that you can do...
is eat a sandwich.
Is go for food. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
It's also on page Nintendo 64.
The person who's really the most built in the gym is the person wearing, like, a giant oversized shirt, and they're like, nope, this is just for me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show off.
I'm gonna show off. I don't even feel self-conscious. You're doing a great job, sweetie.
Yeah.
You're too hungry to show off right now. What a good line. So you walk to the nearest hamburger place. On the way, you check the change in your pocket and figure out that you have just enough for some French fries. You shove through the frosted doors and find the end of the line. Standing there, you're aware of your hungry stomach growling loudly. The inviting smell of the burgers, onions, and fries. Two of those things are the things that I think of when I walk into a fast food place. I do indeed.
I can't smell burger.
Yeah.
Is that the one you meant? Like, you can smell fries frying, and this is literally just oil and salt, right?
Yeah,
onions,
yeah.
Onions are the classic. You start cooking onions in a kitchen, someone will walk in and go, ooh, what's cooking? Right? Like, burgers. Yeah, if someone can identify via smell that you are making burgers...
You've made too burger too long.
You've made an awful mistake.
You've
somewhere.
Too long to burger. Yeah, fair. You know, fair. In my head, I was just like, I'm walking up to a fast food place, and I'm like, I could really go for some burgers, fries, and onions. I was thinking of it from an ordering perspective. Like, it's not much the thing, unless it is in ring form or something. I want to talk about something.
I have to say, after. I might actually be off base here in my assessment.
I don't think so.
Because onion is a very common addition to Australian burgers, but not necessarily in like cuts and slices. Caramelized onion. Like if you order an Aussie something, typically caramelized onions on there.
Oh, I love caramelized onions. But smell-wise, ingredients-wise, like it's on burgers all the time, but it's more... Smell-wise, I get it. But it was more in my head, I was like, if you were to place an order, like... Unless it's an onion ring, there's something about it feels queer. But I wanted to mention something very briefly and then move on. And that is the fact that the delta between a good onion ring and a bad onion ring is so huge. Have you noticed? I feel like for any side, like I can be confident that like I will get fries or something and I'll be like, they're at least, or, you know, or chips or whatever, you know, whatever. And I'll be confident they're at least going to be good enough to where I want to eat them all. I've had some, what is it about onion rings? Because I've had mozzarella sticks, like other fried things. It's not them. Why onion rings? Is it so easy to mess them up? Is it the ring shape?
I have no clue. I have to suspect that onion is involved in the reason.
Probably. You'd think so. Because it's like, there's been a lot of time, like, it's the one where it's most likely that I will bite into it and I will still taste flour. You know? Like,
yep.
By far, it's not close. Onion rings are the most likely ones to have that happen. And
onion
you know
rings,
what? Somebody out there knows.
Also, one of the most fragile of the signs.
It's true. It's like, what are you trying to prove? Like, ooh, I'm, you know, be careful with me. Come on. Grow up.
I'm hungry. I'm too hungry to be careful with you. And I flex and the world shifts.
Yeah. But the reason I brought that up is because a really good onion ring destroys a lot of other sides.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, there's such a skill diff.
In a tier list, onion ring has both the S tier and the F tier.
And that's what I'm getting at. If I were to make a fast food tier list, I do think that would be the case. I think that the worst onion ring would probably be in the bottom, and the best might be one of the top ones. It's crazy. Anyways, mm-hmm. Anywho, that's I've just been thinking about that recently. But as you step up to the counter, you hear the front door fly open and a gravelly voice command.
All right, everybody on the ground. Don't move or I'll shoot.
It's a robbery. We really milked that.
I thought that was his order.
It is.
Can I get a double McChicken and can I have onions with that, please?
And all the money in the register or your life. End your life. There we go. End your life, please. Thank you. It. All the money in the register and I want to kill you. I don't know why I'm telling. I don't know why.
Give me the money and then I'm going to kill you.
I don't even know why I need to tell you this, but it's what they do. I don't know. Arr, I'm a pirate.
I legitimately could imagine like a really good sketch written where someone busts in and they're like, all right, give me the money and I'll shoot. Sorry, the money and you'll shoot? What did I say?
I meant no.
All right, here's your money.
It's a robbery. The cashier's face turns white and she dives to the floor behind the counter. That must be where they keep the money. You drop down, making sure your body covers spellcaster so the robber won't see it. You look behind you. A burly man dressed in jeans and nothing else waves a gun from side to side. His nervous eyes twitch from person to person before he steps up to the cash register next to you. Then he looks you in the eye and snarls,
"Nose on the floor, kid."
This guy means business. Go to page 92. This is a businessman.
Oh. Okay, well, let's negotiate then.
The robber orders your cashier to get up and collect all the money from the registers. He already did that. Get up from the, okay. But the money's on the ground. Anyways, you hear the sound of the change clinking and rustling of bills being stuffed into a paper sack. As the man slams out the door, he threatens,
"Don't move."
Really cliche, this man. Any other day, you'd have just stayed put and been thankful to be alive. But today, you have the magic strength of the spellcaster. You will not be thankful to be alive. You spring from the floor, remembering the stone you threw at the tree. You dash for the door and see the man running away. You toss spellcaster frisbee fashion at his back. When he crashes to the ground, his bag of loot bursts, scattering money all over the sidewalk. You are given a police citation for good citizenship. That can happen. Here's a ticket.
Apparently.
Here's a ticket. You did a good job. That's nice. I want one.
All right, I'm going to write you up.
I'm going to write you up.
No. I saw you help that old lady across the street. I'm going to write you up.
Hey, license and registration, please. For such a good job you did. I saw that really good left turn you did. I know you could have gone.
Two more of these and we're going to have to take you down to the station for the surprise party, okay?
When you least expect it. You are given police citation for good citizenship. The burger chain gives you a lifetime pass at all their franchises, and your heroism is written up on the front page of the evening paper. Congratulations. Unfortunately, the police also take spellcaster for evidence, and your super strength fails before your day comes to the end. Dude, that's good enough for me.
I mean, I will still mentally sit on our very first good ending. Which was, we now become a wizard and we can travel through time.
I like
or
this.
Maybe the one
I
where
prefer
we get $100.
I prefer
this one.
I prefer this one to magic. Lifetime supply at the burger place.
Hang on. Now, this is why I laughed. It's not a lifetime supply. It's a lifetime pass. So I'm allowed to go to any of their burger chains and order whatever I want and pay for it.
I like
they're thing. Never gonna refuse me entry.
Yeah, what if it's like, it's just like a fast pass? It's like, if you ever, it's a fast pass like Disney. I would be, it would be such a burden. I just thought, what if you got a, people out, there's people out there that wouldn't care. But if I got a piece of paper that was like laminated and everything that said I could skip in front of everyone in line at McDonald's, I would never use it. Because I would never want to be like, I saved somebody's life, so I'm going to the front of the line at McDonald's. Because I'm because I care about other people, I don't care about your time. I'm going in front of you so that I can get this burger a little faster.
I don't think Look, sue me. I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I don't think that fast food chains should issue lifetime passes to allow you to get to the front of the line. I do think, however, they should issue lifetime passes that allow you to eat any other meal that's already been served. So you can just walk in, grab a handful of fries, pop them in. If anyone looks at you sideways, you just flash them your little display lanyard like that says, I get to eat your food. I drink your milkshake. I drink it all. Like,
it's like, what are they going to do? Call the police? They told me that I'm legally a good boy.
Got a citation from them on my other lanyard. I turn around.
With these two slips of laminated paper, we become an absolute menace to society.
We wield ultimate power.
I would prefer the lifetime supply at the burger chain to magic. It's too much for me. It's too complicated. I can't handle my normal stuff.
I don't want
stuff.
The responsibility to use magic like for good. I know I can't use the lifetime pass for good, so I'm just going to use it.
I do not want great responsibility, so I do not want to take great power. I'm just not interested. I can't handle my low stakes amount of responsibility that I already have in my normal life. I can't do my chores on time. What am I going to do if
I really like how alive my uncle is? I can't get tied up in this.
So anyway, the end. That I liked it.
I like the writing, I like the theming, I like a lot of the turns. It did feel more than many in Twister plot so far. A story was written and then the author had to put branch points in. As a lot of them were like, and then you died, and then it was the end.
Yes.
And then
as a choose your own adventure book, this was awful. But as a book to read and make me laugh, it was just really good. It was really
accomplished that with aplomb. Well done, Katie Brown.
I had a lovely time reading this collection of short stories that sometimes you could decide to make a choice that was obviously stupid and then lose. That's the walking. Walking back our branching path chart that I made and going like, every single one of them was like, do you want to do this obviously stupid thing? Every single one of them. We got to the good end really fast because we just did everything that was obviously the right choice and everything else was... There was no, I know early on in Give Yourself Goosebumps, like, I would make notes of like, oh, well, we're just going to do this, and it's just going to randomly kill us anyways, because you kind of have to call the bluff or the double bluff. This book played it so straight to a fault, where it was, do you make good choice or bad choice?
Yeah.
Good choice, and you will read a very short, semi-unsatisfying story, or make all of the wrong choices along the way and have a good laugh. And I'm glad we at least got to do that, too. Because, like... Mm-hmm. Theming, world building, I enjoyed it. World building, we did the world building, but still. I liked our world building.
As did I.
Alas. Any other wrap-up thoughts before we move to the thank yous?
None especially. I will, of course, say thank you to our executive producer of the episode. Of course, the executive producer of the episode is Something Scary. Much appreciated Something Scary for supporting over on the patreon.com/turntopagecast at or above the hardcover tier. Of course, we appreciate all of our producers, but the executive producer of this episode in particular is Something Scary. Much appreciated again.
Thank you so much, Something Scary. Really, really appreciate it. Like, same thing, same vibes. Huge thank you all around to everybody who's supporting, but special thank you today, Something Scary. Number one thank you today. To Something Scary. Anybody who wants to support over there on patreon.com/turntopagecast. Very appreciated. Helps to keep this show a running. So we can do things like picking up the physical copy of the next book that we have to do, for example. Or getting, you know, new art for the new seasons that's done so wonderfully by SamKaren55. Or all of the other important things like the theme song, etc., etc. Very helpful. Hard to justify it anyways for it. As a smaller podcast, aka anyone listening to this who thinks I do enjoy listening to this on a week by week basis and I could chip in a buck or whatever, actually a big deal. It really is. With how small the podcast is, more than most when you say anything helps, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to help in a way for free, you can also do that by subscribing over on YouTube at Turn to Page Cast, youtube.com/@turntopagecast. You can like, comment, subscribe over there for completely free. That's all very helpful. Leaving reviews on whatever podcast streaming service you listen to this on. Or if you just want to send some good vibes, good messages, it's also completely free over at turntopagecast@gmail.com. You can just send us an email if you want to just shoot a good vibe. That's also helpful. But alas, that's going to do it here for this week. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Adios.